I wanted to start tonight just with your thoughts on the big trade that happened right at the start of free agency. We saw Jimmy Graham go from New Orleans to Seattle for a first round pick. Did you like that move? What are your thoughts, Tony?
Well, I think anytime you can add another weapon to the arsenal of Russell Wilson and make a more effective quarterback, you've done a good job. I think, you know, the thing with Seattle is they've got to win, and they got to win quickly. Because all of a sudden, Richard Sherman, Russell Wilson, and all these, even Jimmy Graham, all these guys are going to be up for big contracts really soon. So they're not going to be able to keep this team together. I'm sure that went, it was part of the thinking. Let's bring another weapon in for Russell Wilson. You know, they've got to win now, because if they don't, the team is going to have to be separated because they're not going to be able to pay everybody. So in the sense that they needed a tight end, it's not a good tight end class in the draft. They strengthened Russell Wilson. I think overall it was a good trade for the Seattle Seahawks. I'm a little bit miffed at what the New Orleans Saints are doing. I guess they feel they have to implode things and blow it up. But I think if you're a Seattle fan, you got to be pretty happy.
During the college season, you suggested, I think it was just before the Senior Bowl, actually, you suggested that the Seahawks were showing a little bit of interest in Tyson Brailo at Colorado State. What have you heard about their potential interest, and what do you like about his fit in that offensive line as they try and fill a couple of gaps at guard and center?
Yeah, guard because of James Carpenter. And let's not forget, you know, I mentioned the salary cap. Russell Okung is slated to be a free agent at the end of the 2015 season, and he's going to command a huge salary. So it was as much a looking forward decision as or possibility as anything else. Now, Ciambrello has not had a good run-up to the draft. Did not play well at the Senior Bowl, did not work out well at all at the Combine. So, I mean, he's a guy who went from a potential late first-round pick into the second round. You know, I think that if he's there when the Seahawks pick, he'd be excellent value. I know there is interest there. I know the interest is not as high as it was, say, during the season. I mean, Ciambrello is a different player on film as opposed to what he tested like. But if they can get him late in round two, that would be outstanding value, and that's definitely, I think, a way that they would go.
Do you think that's the type of range that they would have to take him? Is he not going to be there at the end of the third, for example?
I'd be shocked if he gets out of the second round. I mean, he's a big athletic tackle. He's got a great amount of upside. He's a guy who can play left to right side. You know, he's just someone that has to get into an NFL weight training program, improve his strength at the point of attack, and really just finish his game. Those types of players really don't last very long, so I'd be surprised if Ciambrello gets out of the second round. If he does, that means there have been some other red flags that have popped up on him.
But speaking of Tony Pauline, who's one of the best in the business, go and check out his website at draftinsider.net as well. Tony, just how much is Ali Marpet boosting his stock in this offseason?
Yeah, he's done a tremendous job. I mean, the small school guy who, you know, just lit it up at the Senior Bowl, improved at the Combine, and then had a good pro day. You got to take it all in perspective. I mean, coming into the season, Marpet was not rated as a draftable player by NFL scouts. He was rated as a priority free agent. You know, had a knockout season, which he was expected to do on the small school level, and then just wowed everybody at the Senior Bowl, if you followed me. In all sorts of ways. At left tackle, he was doing a great job against Nate Orchard pass blocking. On the inside, he was handling Danny Shelton, who's probably the best bull rusher, one of the most powerful defensive tackles in this year's draft. I think the fact that Marpet's so versatile, he can play either guard spot. He can play right. People feel he can play right tackle. He played left tackle in college. Some feel ultimately his best position in the NFL is going to be center. Has really boosted his draft stock as well. Where does he end up? You know, I think he's probably going to be a third-round pick. Could somebody take a shot on him in the second round? Sure. I mean, let's go back to what I said about Ciambrello, about how he needs to get into an NFL weight training program. I think that is an even greater need for Ali Marpet, because I sat and I talked with him at the Senior Bowl. He's not a physically impressive guy. He's not a guy that's got big muscles bulging out of his T-shirt. He's just smart. He's fundamentally sound. And as he physically matures and gets stronger, he's just going to be a much better player. I think in the end, it's going to turn out to be a third-round pick for Marpet.
What are the other options at center in this draft? We have to expect that Seattle are going to take one. They're looking at veteran options there, but I think they're going to take one at some point. So who are some of the other guys that we should maybe focus on?
Well, I mean, a Northwest guy would be Ronis Grasu of Oregon. I mean, not a smaller guy, but a smallish type center, very athletic, good in zone blocking. I mean, the type of guy that you'd want in front of Russell Wilson when you move the pocket because he moves so well on his feet. Not a dominant blocker, but a guy I think is going to go in the third round, has starting potential. Andrew Gallick of Boston College is another guy, probably a fourth round, maybe a third round guy. Not a great athlete, did not run well at the combine, but someone that's been very durable, been very productive on the college level, knows the position, plays smart football, and I think could be used in a variety of schemes. You know, later on down the line, Max Garcia, Florida, a guy that can play guard or center. Played guard very well as a junior at Florida, played center well as a senior, had a terrific senior bowl. A bit understated. You know, he's not a great athlete. He's not really big, but he's just smart. He's tough, and Pete Carroll likes those type of guys. So Garcia is a player, remember, when the third day of the draft starts.
Now, there's been a bit of suggestion over the last couple of days that the Seahawks showed some interest in Doriel Green Beckham, and whether or not that interest remains now that they've traded their first-round pick. But this is a guy who, I guess you wouldn't really be surprised if whatever point he goes in this draft. What are you hearing about how teams view him? Where do you think he's at the moment?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head about, you know, if he goes in the first round, you shouldn't be surprised. If he goes in the third round, you shouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't touch the guy with the first 50 picks. But what am I hearing? It's not that I'm hearing anything specifically on Doriel Green Beckham. What I'm hearing is that there's going to be a lot of reaches at the receiver position in the first round because your top three guys probably going to be off the board by the time the Cleveland Browns select or Minnesota Vikings select, that third guy being Devontae Parker. And then you look, and there were a lot of teams, the Miami Dolphins. You know, if the Cleveland Browns don't get a receiver with their first pick in round one, they got another pick in round one, they need a receiver. And it means that guys like Sammy Coates, maybe of Auburn, Devin Smith of Ohio State, maybe Doriel Green Beckham end up in round one. I think it's what really bodes well or what may happen for Doriel Green Beckham being in round one is not so much the type of player he is, but the need at the receiver position and some team deciding that it's okay to roll a dice on him.
The other thing that Seattle are really going to be looking for, I think, in this draft is a kick returner. Their kick returns and punt returns last year, really unproductive, one of the worst in the league in that regard. They're probably going to add somebody who can do a role for them either on defense or offense who can kick return as well. What are the options you like in this draft class, Tony?
I think the top guy would be Tyler Lockett of Kansas State. So, I mean, it would add some speed at the receiver position. You're giving Russell Wilson another weapon, and he is a threat to score anytime the ball is in his hands. I mean, he is a legitimate game breaker at receiver or as a return specialist. So if they're going to take one or they're looking at one in those first three rounds, I think Lockett is the type of guy they may have to take him in the second round because he may not be on the board when they select it in round three. But that is the guy if you're looking for a return specialist. He is head and shoulders above everyone else. And, you know, what he does also is he's going to loosen up that interior of the defense because all of a sudden when he steps to the line of scrimmage, your safety can't come up the box and play Marshawn Lynch. He's not going to be able to defend the run because he's going to have to move five yards back to guard against the deep pass to Lockett. So that's a guy that I think that if you're looking for that type of player, late in round two, or if they trade back in round two or trade up in round three, somebody they would look to.
And what is the situation with Zach Hodges at the moment? Because he's a player that, you know, Seattle likes length, and he's got big old 34-inch arms, and he ticks maybe a few boxes in terms of burst. But it just seems like in the last couple of weeks, there's been a bit of negativity there with Zach Hodges. So what can you tell us about him?
Yeah, a lot. It's come out in the press the last couple of weeks. I mean, I've heard all through the scouting process, maybe the word, I don't want to say he's weird, but he's just a different type of character. Someone who plays in spurts, someone who has a sort of a different sort of personality where at times he just seems like he doesn't care about football. I know, you know, he didn't do well at the Senior Bowl, struggled when he was used at linebacker. His pro day workout, he still hasn't bench pressed. He supposedly has a wrist injury, so it's unlikely he's going to bench press any time before the combine. And though the bench press is not a big indicator of how you're going to do at the next level, you know, if you're a Division I AA guy and you shine away from that and teams have questions about your strength, they think you're hiding something. You're hiding the fact that you're not going to be able to do 15 reps on the bench. So he's kind of come across as a complainer at times, some guy that's sort of aloof and someone who, you know, has a take it or leave it attitude towards football, which is not going to bode well for him. I think he's going to be a very late round pick, may even fall out of the draft the way things are going. He's got a lot of ability, but he's a streaky player. If you watched him last year, I mean, he'd be making two or three plays in one game, and then you wouldn't see him for a while, and that's not a good trait.
Well, speaking of Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net, and if you've been following Tony, you'll notice that he's been doing some great pro day reports for WalterFootball.com at the moment. Tony, just a couple of general thoughts to finish on the draft. As you've been covering the pro days recently, what has impressed you the most, would you say?
I think some of the small school players, I mean, we had two receivers today at Texas A&M Commerce that performed very well. You know, that is the beauty of the pro day. Everyone talks about the combine, but you only get 330 players at the combine, and 25 of them are usually punters and kickers and a few long snappers. You know, you go to these pro days, and there are some of these guys that are languishing in the background that didn't get invites to the combine who are legitimate NFL prospects. And I think, like you saw today at Texas A&M Commerce, there's another kid out of Idaho, defensive tackle, who did well during his pro day. It's sort of the no names. The people that the ones that people don't concentrate on that have really impressed me thus far in the first half of the pro day season.
And just a final point, that a lot of people have spoken recently, and we've heard John Schneider say this and others as well, that there's a lot of value in the middle rounds, and it seems to be a perception this year that you're going to get some good players, some impact players as well, maybe the back end of day two and even the start of day three. What are the sort of the strongest positions as you look at this class overall in those middle rounds?
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I think part of that has to do with the fact that it's not very strong at the top of the draft. I mean, I've got 20 guys that are ranked as first-round picks, and there's 32 picks, but I think you're going to be able to get some good receivers in those middle rounds. Tony Lippett of Michigan State, who's going to be participating in the pro day tomorrow, Vince Mail of Washington State, Darren Waller of Georgia Tech. I mean, is he a wide receiver? Is he a tight end? He's a guy that's probably going to go fourth or fifth round, and if you hit on him, you're going to have something there. I like the offensive tackle class. Corey Robinson of South Carolina, guy who lined up left tackle for South Carolina, probably going to play right tackle at the next level. He's only played the offensive line position for 2 years. Big, thick guy, coming off a somewhat disappointing senior campaign, but he's got starting ability at the next level. Same thing with Mitchell Morse of Missouri, a guy who's going to be a fourth, fifth-round pick, but really had a terrific combine and turned a few heads, I should say, opened some eyes. I also think it's a very good pass rusher class, whether it's a 4-3 defensive end, whether it's a 3-4 outside linebacker. Now, Frank Clark is going to fall because of his off-the-field issues, but he's a very good pass rusher, guy that gets a lot of pressure up the field. Cedric Reed of Texas, again, 4th, 5th round for that guy. He's coming off a bad senior season, but as a junior, he was unstoppable. Za'Darius Smith of Kentucky, someone who's probably pushed himself into the 3rd round with his combine and pro day workout. So I think pass rushers, a lot of good players there. Receivers, a lot of good players there. Offensive tackles, a lot of good players there. Not much in the way of cornerbacks or safeties or even inside linebackers is a thin class. And of course, I'd be dumb not to mention the running back class, because this is, on paper, looks like it's going to be one of the best running back classes of the past 10 years. You're going to be able to get guys like Corey Grant of Auburn. You talk about the return specialist, a guy who's probably going to go in the 7th round. Ran under 4.3 at his pro day. And if you watch him, everyone talked about Cameron Artis Payne, and he got the bulk of the work at Auburn. But Corey Grant's a guy, you give him an open space, you give him the ball in open space, I mean, he can score from any point in the field as a ball carrier, as a pass catcher, and as a return specialist. So you're going to have that type of talent at the running back position really through the 5th, 6th, and 7th round.
Tony, a lot of our readers like to follow you on your website, draftinsider.net, and they've followed your Walter Football work. Where can we find more from Tony Pauline over these next few weeks leading into the draft?
Well, those two places, like you mentioned, I thank you for mentioning that. I mean, we'll finish up with Walter Football through the pro days, and then back to Draft Insider. We'll get the rankings updated and what players are visiting what teams and what the latest word is. All the exciting stuff that the red juicy stuff that people like to sink their teeth into as we move towards the final days of April, the first days of May for the 2015 draft.
One of the best insiders when it comes to the NFL and the NFL draft in general, Tony Pauline, with us today.